Hey there, welcome to the Shannon Roberts Podcast. I'm your hostess, Shannon Roberts. I have a vision that I would like to share, as well as an accompanying word that goes with that vision. On January 21st, I was slipping off to sleep when I saw a large cluster of grapes. They were juicy and ready, warm and ripe, and to the right I saw olives. Again, very ripe, very ready. To the right of the olives, I saw wheat grain. As I stood beside the grapes, I was like so excited. The phrase new wine came to mind, and then new or fresh oil came to mind, and fresh bread came to mind. From this place, I then envisioned communion. I envisioned breaking bread, drinking wine, both representations of Christ's body and his blood and sacrifice. And then I began to see Jesus as the broken body. His flesh as bread dipped in oil and consumed with wine. Now, naturally, I was startled, but I began to weep at the thought of Christ and his flesh and his body being broken for you and I. And then I thought of John chapter 6, where Jesus himself says, "This is an offense to our minds," and I continued to weep. Jesus being broken, his sacrifice costing so much, his love being poured out. I was completely overwhelmed. And then I thought, there's the scripture for this, and Googled wine, grain, olive oil scripture. What was the result? Joel 2:19. "Behold, I will send you grain, new wine, and oil, and by them you will be satisfied." I asked the Lord to help me understand what he was saying just before drifting off to sleep. The next night, I went back to the vision and asked again, "Lord, what are you saying?" I sensed in my spirit he was saying, "I'm ready to pour out the new wine. I'm ready to pour out the fresh oil and anointing. I'm ready to satiate with fresh bread made from heavenly grain, fresh manna from heaven. I am ready to do this for my children and the lost. But my people must be ready. My people must prepare themselves. Are my people willing to look to my sacrifice for their joy? Are they willing to look to my joy for their strength? It seems so many try to fabricate their own joy, so many pursuing their own natural pleasures for joy outside of me. Their gladness does not come from me, my presence, and obedience to my word. Are my people willing to lay self-seeking pleasures at the foot of the cross? Are my people willing to no longer disregard my anointing, to no longer disregard Holy Spirit? Are my people willing to go deeper and further and receive all the fullness Holy Spirit brings with him? Many are operating in their own strength. Many are not walking according to the Spirit, but according to the flesh, and this brings only death. This is dead religion and will not bring my life. This will not help bring in the harvest that is ripe and ready. Are my people ready to begin to take part of my word, the bread of life, me, every day for their sustenance? Are they willing to have a steady stream of my fresh manna from heaven rather than the steady stream of social media or news or television and other entertainment? Are my people willing to break open the Bible, the living word? Are my people ready to live off of my spoken and written words? The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Are my people willing and ready to make a sacrifice to take part of my living bread? I sense the Lord calling each and every one of us to first lay down our efforts of obtaining joy and gladness outside of Jesus. Second, to lay down our resistance to the move of Holy Spirit and anointing. Third, to lay down all distractions and idols keeping us from getting into the Word of God and receiving a living manna from heaven. Of course, I wanted to confirm that this Rhema word would line with the Logos word, that the spoken word, living word from the Lord was in alignment with the scripture that we rely on for truth. I dug in and I began to go into scripture, first starting with Genesis 27:28, where Isaac blesses Jacob. He says, "Therefore, may God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and new wine." Numbers 18:12-13. "Harvest gift from the Lord to Aaron, all the best of the oil and all of the best of the wine and of the wheat, the first fruits of what they will offer to the Lord. Those have I given to you." The Lord gives the best of the oil, the best of the wine, and of the wheat. Deuteronomy 7:12-13. "In the promised land, there is a large harvest when we obey the word of the Lord. If you listen to these judgments, keep them and do them, then the Lord your God shall keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you." There is a huge, bountiful, abundant harvest when we obey the word of the Lord, the spoken word of the Lord, and the written word of the Lord. Deuteronomy 11:13-14. There's a promise of the harvest connected to loving the Lord with every part of our being. Now, we've been speaking about this and discussing this in the Beyond booklet, how our lives are to be centered on Jesus Christ first and foremost, and first and foremost, loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Back to the scripture, "It will be, if you will diligently obey my commandments, which I am commanding you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain and your wine and your oil." Love him first and then serve him from that place. Deuteronomy 28:45-51. Now this is a long passage and I would encourage you to read it yourself, but we read that disobedience will yield a foreign nation infiltrating and leaving God's people with no grain or new wine or olive oil. It is imperative that we are seeking the word of the Lord, that we are getting into his word, that we are receiving from him through his written scriptures and through the whispers in the prayer closet, and then we are walking it out. Walking it out, friends. Hosea 2:8. "Our bridegroom, Jesus, provides everything." The scripture reads, "She doesn't realize it was I who gave her everything she has, the grain, the new wine, the olive oil." Folks, I believe God cautions us not to abandon him as our first love. He loves us with an everlasting love, and he will and has always provided. As I continue to press in, Amos 9:9 revealed, "For I will give the command, and I will shake Israel along with other nations as grain is shaken in a sieve, yet not one true kernel will be lost." And then I finally ended up in Psalm 104:15. "He brings forth the wine to make them glad, the olive oil to soothe their skin, and bread to give them strength." Today I'm pressing in and encouraging us to ask, Father, we ask in Jesus for Holy Spirit to cause us to be a prepared people, a new wineskin, ready to receive the new wine and oil and bread. Holy Spirit, as you continue to shed love abroad in our hearts towards God and others, we ask you move us to obedience of the word of God. Father, we ask you to forgive us for seeking joy and gladness outside of you, for quenching the move of Holy Spirit, and for allowing idols and entertainment to be a steady stream in our lives rather than every word flowing from your mouth. Jesus, thank you for being a bridegroom who has always provided, is providing, and will continue to provide all the joy, anointing, and sustenance we will ever need as your bride. Holy Spirit, we ask you to cause us to remain in step with our first love, or cause us to return to him if we have drifted away. Father, thank you for your mercy, as this word causes a shaking and a revealing of your true kernels. Where we must repent and turn back to becoming the true kernel, We ask for your loving conviction to move us to repentance. Lord, thank you for your wine that makes us glad, your oil that soothes our skin and causes us to radiate your light, and the bread that strengthens us. Thank you, Lord, for this word. As I had composed this and brought these scripture together and brought this word together, and I was praying over it one more time, seeking the Lord's blessing before sharing, he brought to mind an image of Jesus in the garden at Gethsemane. Jesus, he was the word become flesh. Remember, I saw that image of him being broken, his flesh being dipped in oil just before consumption, the broken bread for all of humanity. His blood, represented through wine, was poured out there in his anguish. The scripture reads, he was so anguished, blood came out with his sweat. Yet in his love for God the Father, he obeyed, and who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. In the laying down of his will and his flesh, Jesus, our example, made it possible for new wine and fresh bread to be multiplied. He did this on the Mount of Olives, so called from the multitude of olive trees which grew upon it, in a garden called Gethsemane. Now, this is really interesting. In Hebrew, Gethsemane is Gat Shamanim, or oil press. Can you believe it? I mean, when I discovered this, I was like, okay, all right, Lord, thanks. Thank you so much. Jesus was pressed and crushed in order for his spirit to be poured out and fresh anointing to flow. He is calling us now to do the same, for God's glory to fill the earth and for Jesus to be known as Lord and Savior by the lost souls he loves dearly. Zechariah 9:17 says, how lovely and beautiful. Grain will make the young men flourish and new wine the young women. The harvest is ready. Lord, we trust this word to prepare us. Now, I had written this word a couple weeks ago. I was holding on to it, and I wanted to make sure that when I shared it was exactly how the Lord needed me to share it. This past week has been kind of challenging. It's been interesting. There have been some new developments in my personal life. And, you know, I would say I had probably about a 12-hour pity party. And then this morning, as I was reading from another sister in Christ, I just had this conviction that it was time to record this and share it and let the Lord do with it what he will. I know this is one of those words that seems to have some correction with it. And folks, from what I'm learning, that is how words are supposed to be. They are supposed to be edifying and encouraging and building us up, but they are also to bring correction because we love and serve and live for a God who loves us, and in that he does correct us. And so today, I'm praying and having faith that the Lord is going to reach us right where we are, and we can go to him and say, Lord, where I am pursuing joy outside of you, help me to see those spaces and those places. Help me to repent from those places. And Lord, when I am feeling down and out or distraught by my distractions or consumed by my circumstances, and I'm just feeling down and heavy and dark and dreary, Holy Spirit, allow the joy of the Lord to rise up within me. Allow me to look to Jesus. Allow me to look to that place in Christ where their joy is abounding in Christ Jesus. I pray today that if we have been consciously or unconsciously quenching the Holy Spirit or quenching the anointing we know we have on our lives from the Lord, that we would begin to ask the Lord to release us from that quenching. He needs to move in the earth now, today. He always has. He's asking us to lay aside our inhibitions related to the movement of his Spirit and just allow him to flow freely. We are living sacrifices. We are laid down lovers for our Savior, for our King. He has the right to flow freely through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And where we have been turning to so many other things for our sustenance, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, even physically, rather than the Word of God, rather than every word that flows from the mouth of God, written and spoken today, alive today, Logos and Rhema, I pray that we would repent, that we would not rest in condemnation, that we would allow this word to bring conviction and correction, and then we would turn and go in a new direction as the Lord leads us through the power of His Holy Spirit, as Jesus takes us by the hand and continues to dwell within us as we are within Him, and we just stay in step. We stay in step with our bridegroom who provides everything. I pray this word blesses you. I pray that this word goes deep into your soul. I pray that if you sense this is a word that needs to be shared with others, that you boldly and freely share what the Lord is speaking to us. The new wine, the new oil, the fresh bread is ready. It's like He's laying before us this feast in the presence of our enemies. We can think of Psalm 23, and He's saying, "Here you go, feast, enjoy. I am with you. I am providing. All hell can be breaking loose around us and it can be and feel crazy. But here we have a new wine, a new oil, fresh bread that will keep and sustain us, where joy will flow unfettered and where we will be moved by the Spirit of the living God. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in you and I, and He needs to move today." Ah! This word excites me. It excites me. So Father God, I pray this word goes wherever you need it. I pray that the listener on the other end of this is blessed and moved and quickened in their spirit. I pray that this is a witness to the Spirit within them, just like Elizabeth and Mary, that this is a witness and a confirmation of your Spirit already speaking to them the things that have been whispered. And so Father, again, I thank you for this word. I pray that it goes where you need it to go. And I trust and have faith it will not return void, if only in my life. But I do believe, Lord, that it is not going to return void in many lives, Lord, because this is a word I know and have faith came straight from your heart for your people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.